Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, plenty to discuss with our guy, Tom Hauser. We haven't talked to Tom in a while. We'll kind of peel back the curtain here a little bit. Tom is demanding $10,000 an appearance. He is getting $5,000 up front, and then Lindsay will evaluate his performance to decide if he gets $5,000, maybe even $10,000. So, I mean, you better bring it.
If you're giving me $5,000 just to answer the phone, that's good enough for me.
That'd be good. You'll skip the rest. All right, good to chat with you. Okay, so let's talk Klobuchar first, and let's talk the story about difficult to work for. I know two of us grabbing a beer have discussed this before. I know many other people who I talked to in the Politico circle had talked about this before. Do you feel like in town it received the appropriate amount of conversation, and do you think now the national coverage is at the right amount, considering the country is getting to know her a little bit more at this point?
So when you're talking about Minnesota or local, you mean over the course of her tenure in the Senate?
Yeah, right.
You know, I think it's had the required amount. I mean, how much do you cover a boss who's mean to you? I mean, it's happened in places where I've worked. It's, I'm sure, happened in places where you've worked. I don't think it's risen to the level of criminal activity. I mean, that somebody's a tough boss. It's been pretty common knowledge here. There have been stories about it. I don't know if you recall, after everybody starts saying in Minnesota, why is this the first we're hearing of this? You know, I look back in our archives, and the first time I saw mention of it was 13 years ago, this month, when she was running for the U.S. Senate for the first time, and members of her staff in the Hennepin County Attorney's Office were asking AFSCME, one of the big labor unions, to take back their endorsement of her because she created a hostile work environment and mistreated staff.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were stories going back all the way to 2006. Fast forward to about a year ago, Politico did a story on the worst bosses in Congress and highlighted, in fact, that was the exact headline of it, and it showed in the Senate she had the highest annual staff turnover and talked about one of the reasons for that was, you know, she was, tough and demanding and et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, and that was, again, before her latest reelection.
Mm-hmm.
I know we talked about it on my show on At Issue. I didn't go out and do a story on how people out in Washington are being treated. I've heard stories. I know a lot of people work on Capitol Hill. I've heard all kinds of horror stories, if you want to call them that, about how difficult the hours are and the workload and how, you know, you deal with a lot of egos out in Washington, D.C., It was really, to me, a lot of inside baseball.
So let's go forward. As someone who's interviewed her many times, as someone who's followed her closely, and now you're going to watch and see how this plays, let's say for the next 8-9 months, leading up to trying to get traction and trying to build up ahead of Iowa and New Hampshire quickly after it. What will be, in your view, her greatest assets, and what will be her greatest challenges?
Well, first of all, a week from now or less, nobody will be talking about the staff mistreatment.
Yeah. Unless another part comes up or unless some names come out, right?
Yes. If people would – and then, you know, people have emailed me and been critical saying, well, how can you expect staff people to reveal their names? They'll never be able to work again. And I'm going, well, that's – I guess that's part of the deal. If you want to throw – somebody under the bus, you know, at some point you've got to take responsibility and put your name on it so that it can be verified. And if you're not willing to do that, then I guess just move on, take another job, you know, or unless there's some kind of criminal activity, some kind of, you know, harassment that meets legal thresholds. I mean, it's just, it was remarkable to me how that story, the only reason that story took on the life that it did was because she was about to announce she's running for president. And, you know, you look at the man who currently occupies the White House, and, you know,
he's had no turnover.
He has turnover at the highest levels all of the time. Very demanding, very mercurial. You know, it's part of what goes with people in these positions. You have a lot of egos. You have people who are very high achievers, and they're very demanding, and maybe inappropriately demanding. But it's the way it is. So I was surprised by the legs that this got, even nationally. Any of the reporters doing the stories could have Googled Amy Klobuchar and staff and seen all the stories that have been done over the years and realized this is not new, that she's demanding.
Okay,
why,
so how
why
about
they didn't do that, I don't know. But back to your question.
Yeah.
So looking forward, what's her greatest asset and what is her greatest liability? Was that?
That's it. Yep.
Well, you know, she has a great ability to latch on to issues or stories that really resonate with a lot of people. They may not be the big macro issues like tax policy or healthcare necessarily, although she's been very out front on the prescription drug prices thing. She really focuses on issues that impact people in very personal ways. Again, prescription drugs is one of those areas. There's consumer issues, like I'm sure you remember the tragic story about the little girl who was, sucked into a pool drain and drowned. Senator Klobuchar latched onto that issue, made sure legislation was passed that changes some of the rules around that. People will say, she's pandering to, an obvious issue. And some of that may be true, but it's been very effective for her. I mean, she has won by wide margins now, 3 elections in a row in Minnesota. Her biggest liability kind of goes along the lines of this. While she has passed many pieces of legislation, there are no major, landmark pieces of legislation that, she can point to. Part of the reason is she has served several years in the minority in the U.S. Senate, where your ability to do things like that are very limited. So, she did get to make a name for herself on the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. And I think people will look at that and say, she was tough there on somebody who was trying to get confirmed to the Supreme Court. And so, people will look at her and go, she's pretty tough. And but the problem she's going to have in the early going trying to win the nomination is that she is not liberal enough in the eyes of many Democratic voters, the ones who tend to be voting in recent elections. The party has clearly drifted pretty well to the left.
How about money? Raising it. Money's huge amounts.
Money's going to be a big problem just because she's – I think there was a list of, how they're doing on the individual fundraising. She ranked way down the list. Now, granted, she's only been in the race for a couple of days.
Yeah, but, right.
She's running against people who are from much bigger states, who are much – bigger names, much better known. So she's going to have to do this from the grassroots, which in some cases can be very effective.
Yeah, might be better for her. Okay.
Yes, because some people look at the big money and that's all they think about, and then they dismiss it because there's too much money.
Let's pause right here. Mr. Hauser, Tom Hauser from Channel 5 with us. We come back, we'll talk about Representative Omar, and then let's talk St. Paul. Another confab yesterday with all the top legislative brain wizards. And saying, we're going to get together, we're going to make things different this year, we're going to get things done. Does Tom really think that's going to take place? Back with Hauser in moments on CCO. Channel 5's political guru, political czar, their know-it-all, Tom Hauser, is nice enough to join us. Representative Omar, I called her out, so did many. Did it surprise you at all? This is the response to, first, Kevin McCarthy's comments about Representative Omar and another congresswoman with her comments about Israel, Palestinians, then Glenn Greenwald from The Intercept when he talked about the First Amendment, and then when Representative Omar followed up with, it's all about the Benjamins, which it was from a ditty, a tune from 20 years ago, but to a lot of us, it played up to a long-held and insulting religious stereotypes of those of the Jewish faith. She stepped in it before, in my view, going back to the 2012 tweet about Israel hypnotized. I thought her comments about Lindsey Graham a few weeks before, Tom, were also insulting. Now you have the president, and as I said earlier before you came on, of all people, the president lecturing people on where the line is on inappropriate comments. I was chuckling about that. But the president is calling for her to step down and resign. That's obviously not going to happen. But if she's hurt in any way by this, how will we see it?
You know, it's very difficult to see how you would see it unless she, there's been several, at least Republicans, calling for her to be taken off the, what is it, the Foreign Relations
yes,
Committee.
Yes, right.
That might be the most tangible way you'd see it, because she certainly is not going to be recalled from office, and she almost certainly will win by a huge margin in the next elections.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of that district, and she... I want to make sure that's not misconstrued to say that they're all anti-Semitic. I just mean if you're a Democrat and you have that seat, it's very, very difficult to do anything to lose the job.
Just like in hundreds of other districts all across the country.
Yes.
Some Republican.
Republican districts as well.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Well, you saw years ago when Michelle Bachmann would make some controversial statements, maybe not quite as controversial as these, but you know,
close.
Her margin of victory narrowed, but she was never seriously challenged.
Look at Steve King in Iowa.
Absolutely.
I mean, the comments he makes. And finally, this last time, after it's been comment after comment after comment, that some of the Washington, D.C. Republicans have moved on rather strongly and took him off that same committee. But it seems like so far he's still very popular down in Iowa in his district.
Yeah, and we should clarify that. I worked in Iowa for a number of years. He's popular in that district.
In that district.
I do not believe he is popular
statewide,
which, you know, you could make the same case about Omar. But when you're in Congress, you're not running statewide. You're running to represent the people in your district. And I think so far they've been willing to give her a pass on all the other controversial things she has said. And now she has apologized for this latest one, but you don't know what's coming next. And I think now they're going to be keeping the leadership in Congress, the Democratic leadership in the House, will be keeping a close eye on her, because she was, I mean, it was very rare to see the public rebuke she got from the Speaker of the House of her own party.
Quickly.
Yeah, yes, and it included all of the leadership of the party in the House. And then also, I'm looking at a statement that Representative Dean Phillips, another newly elected Democratic congressman from Minnesota, who strongly for this. You've got members of the Minnesota legislature, Senator Ron Latz, Representative Ryan Winkler, who have gone after Senator Paul Gazelka, a Republican. Again, not surprisingly that he would go after, but it's coming from all quarters now. But how you will see it play out for her, unless she gets stripped of a committee assignment or something along those lines, I don't think you'll see any difference.
See, I'm with you 100%. You know, and she said, I unequivocally apologize. And I don't even have a problem with the other part where she talked about the power of lobbyists. That's all fine. But the earlier part of that statement, Tom, where she said, well, I'm still learning and wasn't aware of this. Come on now. Representative Omar is a very smart, accomplished person. As someone who's faced stereotypes herself endlessly and has faced a conversation about where she stands on the U.S. policy towards Israel. To act like she wasn't aware of this stereotype about Jews, I don't accept that at all.
I talked to a Democrat who is very active in the Democratic Party yesterday, who stopped me in the hall and was rolling his eyes about these latest comments. But he said, this goes back to long before she was elected to Congress, when she was active in the race, when, you remember when Phyllis Kahn was upset?
Yes.
And some comments and things that she had said about Phyllis Kahn.
Yeah, you're right.
Back at the time. And he said it should have been controversial then, but she wasn't running for Congress at the time. She later became a state legislative candidate herself. But he just said that this is not new, and within the party, they've been aware of this. But there's very little you can do, because she's been elected by a considerable margin in her district, and in all likelihood will be reelected in 2020.
100%. Okay, St. Paul. You know, it's Governor Walz is saying, I'm going to get along. Hortman is saying, I'm going to get along. Gazelka is saying, I'm going to get along. Are we going to see significant policy changes? Or are the two of us going to be talking multiple times when there's 2 days left, when there's a day left, and they're going to be trying to cram down all these bills in a short period of time once again?
Less than 24 hours after that news conference yesterday where they were all but singing Kumbaya.
Yeah.
Let me read a couple of quotes from Republicans that I just logged a moment ago about the Enbridge pipeline.
Yes.
That the governor has announced he is going to continue an appeal of. And Senator Paul Gazelka, who stood right next to the governor yesterday,
yeah,
and talked about how they were going to get along, he said, Walz and Flanagan are the only ones left in the state who need clarity on this project. It has met every test. There's a lot of people that are very upset that this process is continuing to delay and delay and delay, and I'm always going to be looking for a win-win with the governor. This is a lose-lose. And then you've got Kurt Dowd, the House Minority Leader, saying this was Governor Walz's first test on what One Minnesota means, and in this example, I think very clearly Governor Walz has failed the test. He has decided to side with extreme environmentalists.
Is this any different
from
what?
How well they're getting together.
Yeah, they're tight. They're close. Is this any different from what Tim Walz said on the campaign trail?
No, he was, you know, wishy-washy on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so
which
he
was on a few topics, right? There were a few times you had multiple debates with him. I did a debate with him. I interviewed him not as many times as you did, but many times. And very likable guy, but sometimes gives you a 3-minute answer, and you're like, okay, did you answer the specific question, though?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And and this was one of those issues. He waited right up until the deadline. Today was the deadline. He had to decide whether to continue with this appeal, and he decided to do it. And it's, you know, where it goes from here, he says, well, look, we just need more clarity. I mean, the Public Utilities Commission has already given it, a permit to go ahead. It needs other permits as well, but what this is primarily going to do is likely delay the inevitable. But it does help him with the environmental wing of his party, and Republicans are saying he's essentially, it's not One Minnesota, he is, you know, essentially kowtowing to the left.
The distracted driving bill, will it pass?
I do believe it will this year. I think the time has finally come that is going to pass, and it is always stalled at the very last minute because there's, you know, been a few libertarian Republicans with a libertarian streak who don't want another freedom taken away, but I think even they've finally been worn down by all the people who've been up here testifying about losing loved ones to distracted driving, and I think this is the year, and I think it might happen sooner in the session rather than later.
Okay, let me look at Lindsay now, because just to remind folks, Tom agreed to come on the air for $5,000 guaranteed, and then Lindsay would decide if he would get the next $5,000 or maybe more.
Of course he does.
But before she makes that decision,
wow,
I wanted to say one more thing about the Kumbaya moment.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Can you sing that for us a little bit, just to give
no,
us a little
feel? No, I will not. I refuse to do that, to sing on the radio or anywhere
Kumbaya
else. You remember House Speaker Steve Swigum?
Oh, yeah.
He tried something like this many years ago where everything was going to be transparent. They were going to hold budget hearings and meetings, the private behind-closed-door negotiations.
Yep.
They said, screw that. We're going to do it out in the open. That lasted like 20 minutes. And then everybody started grandstanding.
Yeah.
They got less done than they would behind closed doors. I got a feeling this is going to end up the same way.
Okay,
that's the last thing I got to say about that.
I just caught Lindsay just shaking her head. Hold on. Lindsay's just not telling me in a note. Take away the entire $10,000. Because you ended on a negative note. So, I mean, you had $10,000.
I just got to be Pollyannish, and then I get 10 grand.
Oh, yeah. You know this show. That's what we play to. Pollyannish. And the glass is always full. That's pretty much my calling card. All right, sir. We'll see each other soon. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Good talking to you, Chad.
Check out Mr. Hauser on a regular basis. He is tremendous at what he does. Channel 5, 45, and also follow him on Twitter, at Tom Hauser.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.